And we'd like for all of you to stand, please. One prayer request that we need to bring to your attention. Brother Seidel's dad has been in pretty bad shape for some time. He's taken a turn for the worse, and so we want to pray for Brother Seidel's dad. I think he lives up in Appleton, in that area. So let's pray right now for Brother Seidel's dad. Lord Jesus, we are indeed asking that you come and that you touch the entire Seidel family. And I pray, God, that they would all join hands together and manifest faith in you for complete healing and deliverance of their dad of this affliction. I'm asking, God, that you move upon him and give him peace in his mind and heart. And may his heart turn toward you at this very moment. I pray for Brother John Seidel, and I'm asking, God, help him, Lord Jesus, to manifest faith and be of great encouragement to his family. We pray, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this be done right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We have our youth pastor, Brother Phil Demas, bringing us our Thanksgiving message. So we'd like for Brother Phil to come. I shouldn't have said Thanksgiving message, should I?
That's all right.
Okay. Amen. Anyone thinking of turkey already? Sorry, Brother Sean. Inside joke. Anyways, turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 100. It's good to have our very own Andrea Millen visiting back from Bible college. Amen. Some of her friends from up there. Amen. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And I want to speak on the subject, a case for thanksgiving. A case for thanksgiving. Let's just pray that God would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, we thank you, God, for the presence that we feel in this place. So grateful, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. I pray, Lord God, anoint our hearts, anoint our minds, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to hear your word, Lord Jesus, God. Be challenged, Lord God, to grow, Lord Jesus, God, in you, Lord God, I pray. Speak to us. Amen. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Give your neighbor a high five or a turkey call. Wow. Amen. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and the idea of Thanksgiving is one that most of us learn in probably a first grade class or earlier. I don't know, I'm not a teacher, so whenever it's taught. Our national holiday really stems from the feast held in the autumn of 1621 by the 53 surviving pilgrims and the Native Americans from the Wampanoag tribe to celebrate the colony's first successful harvest. Celebrating the successful harvest was an English custom, and King Massasoit joined with 90 other Native Americans to celebrate this harvest. The pilgrims did not call this harvest celebration or festival a Thanksgiving, although they did give thanks to God. To them, a day of Thanksgiving was purely religious. The first recorded religious day of Thanksgiving was held in 1623 in response to a providential rainfall. But the religious day of Thanksgiving and the harvest festival evolved into a single event, a yearly Thanksgiving proclaimed by individual governors for a Thursday in November. The custom of an annual Thanksgiving celebrating abundance and family spread across America. Some presidents proclaimed Thanksgivings, others did not, but it was Abraham Lincoln who began the tradition of an annual national Thanksgiving in 1863. But the concept of giving thanks, the pilgrims didn't invent it. They didn't start it. They weren't the first to give thanks. The concept of giving thanks goes all the way back to the children of Israel and the Mosaic Law. There was a thanksgiving offering. These offerings were made to God with the express purpose of public confessing of God's power, his goodness, and his mercy. Being thankful is a central ingredient to the Judeo-Christian belief system. We teach our kids to say thank you. or we should teach our kids to say thank you. We're taught that we should be thankful for the things we have and the things we get to enjoy. I remember as a kid, we were in missionaries in the country of Greece, and I'll never forget this birthday party that I had, not because of any presents, not because of, really, I don't remember anything except one guest of mine who was another missionary in the country. He was a missionary kid, my age-ish. I didn't really know him, but he was invited because he's another missionary. So he was there, and I'll never forget that we went into this room. We were looking for him, and here he was crying. And I don't know, I was probably 7, 8, something like that. And I'll never forget it because he was upset because he didn't get any presents. It was my birthday. But he wasn't thankful for the cake and for the, you know, being invited to my birthday. I mean, come on. Phil Demas at 7 years old. Important birthday party. No, I'll never forget it. He was not thankful that day. He was actually crying, and I don't remember if my mom placated him by giving him a present, or I just remember it so distinctly. That's all I remember from the party. Was an unthankful little snobby kid that I really had never ever wanted to get to know. I think he's actually a missionary now, but he grew out of it. But why is it so central to our lives and our belief systems to be thankful? Simply because Scripture teaches us that we should be thankful. Psalms 136, 26. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. We're instructed to be thankful for his mercy. And I don't need any instruction to be thankful for his mercy and grace in my life. We can be thankful for the victory in him. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which also causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us into every place. And also in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the victory that we can have in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the God's unspeakable gift, as in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I can't even explain it, how good God has been, and the gifts he has blessed me with, and the things he has blessed me with. Also, Scripture instructs us to be thankful for all men. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 3, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For there is good, and for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You know what? We always use this. This was probably one of the most quoted things or put on Facebook after our election. Well, you know what? It is what it is. We just got to pray for our leaders. I agree. It says that. I never saw this before till today. It says, be thankful for them. Some of you are like, what? I got to be thankful for my president, or I got to be thankful for my governor. You know, we have to be thankful for them. I'm thankful for people. I'm thankful for every single one of you, man. God has given us some spice in this world. There are some weird people. There are some crazy people. And I'm thankful for it. You know, one of the fun things to do is just people watch. Just go sit in the mall. Just like, what in the world were they thinking? Like, just the person. We were at a seminar, home buying seminar the other night, just to get some information. And there's some crazy people there, crazy personalities. And then I just walked out of the place like, I just can't believe they're like that. It's hilarious. And we're supposed to be listening, and they're, anyways. But yet God also created me, which I find hilarious. He created a Lego-loving, detailed-minded, organized to a fault, feta-eating missionary kid who lives in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm thankful for people. I'm thankful for every one of you. Amen. But also Scripture exhorts us in Psalm 136, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Simply because he is good. If nothing else, God is good. With a history of Thanksgiving in the United States, a day where we celebrate our thankfulness, instructions to be thankful in Scripture, it begs the question, is Thanksgiving only a once-a-year holiday to us? Now, Brother Thomas already mentioned, oh, we every day, 365, we're thankful. And everyone's like, amen. I agree. But I ask you, after we're thankful on Thursday and stuff our faces on Thursday, enjoy our family, maybe football, maybe hanging out, maybe board games, and yet so many people turn around from that and scrounge for material possessions on Friday. Now, I went the first time Black Friday a few years ago when we first got married. I love it. But now it's Black Thursday. And now it's going to be like next year probably Wednesday, and let's just start early, and next year will be October. Hey, let's start Black Friday. But yeah, we turn around, and again, I'm not against it. But what's the spirit behind it? I want good deals. But is it like, I just got to have it. I just got to shop. I just got to have more. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. For us, is it simply a 30 days of Thanksgiving exercise where we write down what we're thankful for every day in November? Seeing that in Facebook. And again, that's not wrong. That's great. I have loved reading those. And many of you have done that on Facebook. I love it. See what you're thankful for. But is it simply an exercise that when December 1 hits, those thoughts of Thanksgiving, they're like, well, it's not November. It's not Thanksgiving anymore, so I don't have to focus on that anymore. Now I focus on Christmas and presents and 6 weeks till Christmas, something like that. Or do we wake up every day and count our blessings, express our thankfulness every day? Is Thanksgiving one day or one month of your life, or is your life in a state of Thanksgiving? Church, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have an incredible country. And yes, you can argue any which way that we're going. We have an incredible country. We're blessed. We have great families. And if you don't have a physical family, you have a great spiritual family. We have a great church with great leadership. Great ministries, great things that are going on. I'm thankful for the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how I can identify with that by being washed in the blood of the Lamb, in baptism, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for, we can be thankful for our house, our shelter. This is so quoted so often, how even the poorest in America are the richest in the world. I remember Sister Rebecca Thompson, who went to Madagascar, showed us pictures of a typical home. We are blessed. We are blessed. We have shelter. We have clothes. We have food. And if nothing else, how many of you are breathing tonight? Sister Brown, there's a few that aren't over here. We need a medical emergency. But we have breath. If nothing else, we're alive. And we have breath. And God gave us one more day on this earth. You see, there are benefits of having a thankful heart. It ushers us into the presence of God. Our opening scripture, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We all want to get into the Holy of Holies, into that secret place. But first we have to go through the gates, to the courts, to the inner room, and to the Holy of Holies. And it's a thankful heart that says, God, I'm just so blessed. God, you've been so good. I'm thankful. And we're ushered into the presence of God. A thankful heart, Psalms 19:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Good here is a couple meanings. Yes, it's an appropriate action. It is good to do it. It's good to give thanks. But it also speaks to the effect of giving thanks, that there is a good effect. When you're thankful, there's a peace. There's a joy. There's a happiness. There's a great state of mind. It brings health to your body when you are thankful. It also promotes unity, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I looked at Albert Barnes' commentary, and here's what it says about the phrase, and be ye thankful. says, for all mercies and especially for your privileges and hopes as Christians. That's what you should be thankful for. A spirit of thankfulness also would tend much to promote harmony and peace. An ungrateful people is commonly a tumultuous, agitated, restless, and dissatisfied people. Nothing better tends to promote peace and order than gratitude to God for his mercies. When we're going around saying, you know what, I'm so thankful, and you as my brother or sister, you know what, I'm grateful. Look at what God's doing in my life. What a unity. Because we're not focused on what's not happening right. We're focused on, God, I'm so thankful for this. It does promote unity. And the fact of the matter is that when we are thankful, good things happen. And the enemy just hates that. There is an all-out war against being thankful, having a spirit of thanksgiving. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, going to 5. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Among all the conditions, I mean, there's some pretty heavy stuff. Traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, disobedient, blasphemers, proud. There's a simple phrase, unthankful. Yes, amongst all of that, in the last days, one of the signs of the time is an unthankfulness. We live in an unthankful society. There are thankful people. I'm not a doom and gloom, but overall, there's a spirit of I don't have enough. It's an unthankful. There's consistent pressure that can destroy our spirit of thanksgiving. One note to help you out from this scripture. If you're hanging around people who are unthankful, ungrateful, never satisfied, you need to examine those relationships in your life and hold it up to this scripture. What does it say? Unthankful? From such, turn away. We need to surround ourselves with people that are thankful, that are grateful, that lift us up, that encourage us, that, man, God is doing something in their life. Romans 1:18-23 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. If we've repented and received God's forgiveness, if we have been baptized in Jesus' name, if he has filled us with the Holy Ghost, God has shown us something. There's a revelation in our lives that he has shown our need for him and the path to salvation. But the enemy tries to make it commonplace or unimportant or not at the forefront of our thinking. And so we can lose sight of how amazing God is and become unthankful in our spirits, which leads us, as scripture says, to becoming vain in our imaginations, to become having our foolish hearts darkened. We become fools on and on. The rest of Romans 1 explains the complete apostasy of an individual, starting with not glorifying him as God and unthankfulness. And the enemy is actively trying to get you out of having a spirit of thankfulness. Another tactic is, as soon as we are blessed or something good in our lives happens, he assails us to be ungrateful about that thing. I made this comment a few months back in a message. I preached about the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. Now they're on their journey to the promised land, and they start griping and complaining. Numbers 11:4-5. The mixed multitude with that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, what shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Basically, they're saying we're no longer slaves and in bondage. Yay, but we're missing cucumbers. Cucumbers. We can too easily take something that we're supplied with and see the flaws of or how it's not perfect. Children of Israel, once again, no water. Miraculous water comes out of the rock. Pretty amazing. Wow. And they still complain and still whine. Apparently, they wanted Brita-filtered water in a Camelback water bottle, not just coming out of a rock. I mean, that's gross, like germs. A miraculous thing in their lives. And it's like, water god, come on, Brita-filtered. We can see this very easily in our lives. Your kid makes the sport team, but then we're whining and complaining about the conditions of the team, that your kid doesn't get enough playing time, on and on and on. I went to Adrian's in football, and I went to his last game in Dodgeville, and it was raining. It was horrible weather, but it was fun. We went out there, and I guess they had played a game earlier on the better field, and because they didn't want to ruin the field or something, they moved the younger team or the second group, the second game, to another field. Didn't have field goals. It was a pretty poor field. Well, which is fine. I mean, they're like 12 years old. You know, it's not like the NFL or anything. But still, I was having a blast. And we're walking up and down the sidelines and cheering and all this stuff. And there's this one parent. Like, the whole time, every time we passed him, was just like, oh, I can't believe they put us in this field. I mean, these kids might break an ankle on this turf, and it's just, this is dangerous. Now, I understand, but, like, and I can understand maybe saying that once to a group of parents, but seriously, the entire game. And I'm just like, dude, your kid's out there playing, and he's having a blast. Like, be thankful that we're alive and there's not lightning and we're not getting struck in this rain, and like stop whining. But yeah, we can do that easily, get into that vein where we get things or we get blessings and yet we become ungrateful. Oh, I finally got a job, but man, now I got to work on Friday nights when everyone else is hanging out. Oh, thanks God for the job on Friday nights. We can also get to a place where we want more of something. Maybe we lose 10 pounds, and you know what? Immediately we start to complain and say, you know what? We're not losing fast enough. That was only 1.5 pounds a week. And this is, I got to starve myself. I got to get into this crazy stuff. And not being thankful. You know what? I lost 10 pounds. 10 pounds is a lot of weight, you know? And being thankful and saying, okay, you know what? I'm not getting complacent, but I want to take a moment and say, you know what, God, thanks for helping me be disciplined with my eating habits or whatever it may be. And now help me in this next milestone I'm heading. It's a tactic of the enemy to take a blessing or a need that is supplied or something good that happens, and he plants the seeds of ungratefulness and dissatisfaction. And so, church, we must determine to make thankfulness a daily occurrence. Not just say, yep, 365, but no, like, really. On Friday, when you're stuffed and people are cutting you off in line at Kohl's, or you've been standing in line since 3 a.m., and then these people, like, hang around across the door and then cut in front of the whole line right when they open the door. Saw that happen. That was fun. No, I didn't do it. And still yet, at 3 in the morning, be thankful. You know what? I'm in a country where we got stuff all over shelves. 1,000 different types of Cheerios. Thank God for Cheerios. We must determine to make it a daily occurrence, to have it in our forefront of our minds. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The adversity that's going on, be thankful. There's something that's good out of it, coming out of that. Colossians 2, 6, and 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We've received Christ. We've received the revelation. We've been baptized. We have an understanding. I want my life to be not just thanksgiving, but abounding in thanksgiving. You know what, God? There's this, and 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 there's this. The question then is how? How do we get to a place where our lives are consistently in a state of thanksgiving? A sermon was preached at Winter Youth a few years back, and I believe it was Brother Luami Diaz, and he was preaching about envy, and a statement was made in regards to talent. He said, there will always be someone who is less talented than you and someone who is more talented than you. And then he talked about envy and all that. But I believe we can apply that concept in our lives in a general. There will always be someone who has things better in their lives in a certain area than you. But you know what? There will always be someone who is worse off in that same area. And so the key to having a spirit or a state of thanksgiving is contentment. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Whatever state, whatever situation in life, to be content means to be in a state of satisfaction or happiness. That's a tall order when it's not going so good. Or when things aren't what we think are not right. We look at our family situation. My family situation, you know what? Thanksgiving and Christmas bring back memories when I wasn't married. I was single here in Calvary Gospel. And I thank God for many of you who took me into your home and fed me a little too much. But I'm thankful for that. But yet I hated the holidays. Why? Because it wasn't my family. My family, we get together as a complete family. My parents and the three kids, and now the grandkids, every 3 years. Why? Because my parents are missionaries. You know what? It stinks. I hated the holidays till I got married. Now I love them. Christmas. I'm like this most spoiled in my family. Thank you, Mishanda and Fiona. But there was a time that I didn't like the holidays. I like the holidays, but there was no family. Yet, you know, there are families in this church that are very tight-knit. I think of the Brown family. Very, very tight-knit. Five kids and very tight-knit. They do everything. And that's a huge clan. They got a house to host it. They do things together. You may look up and say, man, That's a perfect family. But you know what? There are folks who don't have a family here. There are folks whose family have passed on. There are folks who have a family that have rejected them. And you know what? I don't want anything to do with you. The key for me personally has been to find contentment and be thankful for my family, as dysfunctionally normal as it is. Contentment, because there will always be someone who has a better family situation. There will always be someone who has a worse situation. And so it's just like, you know what? I'm thankful, God. I'm content. And a contentment in that situation leads me to be thankful. There are, in regards to our jobs, there are some that will always have better jobs than you, better wages than you, better conditions than you. But you know what? There are some that don't have jobs. There are some that have horrible bosses that are mean and just nasty. There are some that don't make anything, work for peanuts. There are some that have bad working environments to their health or just the situation, the conversation. And so the key for us is to be content with our jobs. And that contentment of, you know what, God, thank you for this job, it leads to a thankfulness. A contentment in where you're at will lead to thankfulness. Houses, cars, clothes, or just stuff in general. 1 Timothy 6, starting verse 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment, is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I had a great experience a week and a half ago, and really, it just brought how content I am with my life. My boss's wife turned 50. He invited four of us employees down to Chicago to surprise her at a steakhouse and paid for everything. and put us up at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. It's like $500-$600 rooms. I mean, just out of control craziness. I mean, they did everything, you know, and I didn't have to tip. It's a non-tip hotel. All I had was ones. It was kind of awkward, but thankfully they didn't tip. But you know what? I'm just living in, you know, for one night in this beautiful thing that people enjoy all the time. And there's nothing against that. If you're able to afford it, if you're on the Dave Ramsey and it's in your budget, hey, cool, awesome. You know, but I never get to experience that. My boss paid for everything. And you know what? We parked in the garage and carried our stuff over, and then they took care of everything. And then, you know what? They were like, no tip. I'm like, sweet. I'm like, called up. I'm like, yes, can you come have someone come get our bags? And I'm going to go get my car, and, you know, in the garage. And I'm just like, hey, you know, I don't have to carry them down. Sweet. And it was great. Mishanda and Fiona were at Starbucks getting Starbucks, and here I come into the little, like, turnaround in the Waldorf Astoria. There's Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Mercedes, all these really nice. And my 94 Acura Legend. Gold Acura Legend, though. I mean, come on now, gold. Rust spots around the wheels, you know. Jeff Merkus's bumper sticker, like, Jeff worked on my car. No, I just joke. And I pull in, and I'm just like, and it was such a gratefulness. Like, I don't have to worry about the perception, like, living in that kind of lifestyle and always thinking I got to have more. I'm just like, dude, 94 Acura Legend, woo. And the guy came, and I didn't look at his face, but I'm sure he's like, what in the world? And he packed my trunk with all the stuff and loaded it up, and I'm like, thank you, sir. See ya. Back to Madison. But it was a great lesson looking back at it. Like, you know what? I'm so grateful. I don't have a Mercedes. I got a 94, and it's you know, the steering wheel, all the stuff on it doesn't work anymore. The cruise control doesn't work, so my foot's on the pedal all the way to Chicago and back. Cramp in the ankle. You know, the horn doesn't work with semis. That's dangerous, and in town it's dangerous. The speakers, oh, beautiful speakers, but there's one that works, and it's on Fiona's side, so if I want to listen to the Packer game, it's like crank it, which only goes to actually like volume one, and you can't really hear anything. But there is a tape deck, you know? It's like the simple things. Go back to the 80s and 90s and pull on my tapes, tape mixes. But it really true, I'm joking, but all joking aside, I really left feeling content. Feeling, you know what, God, thank you for this 94 Acura. It's getting me to Chicago, got me back. It's going to bless Jeff by breaking down again, and he's going to fix it. And, you know, I'm grateful. There will always be more luxury than you could ever have. But there will always be poorer quality stuff that you could have. The key, again, is for us to be content. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. You say, if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. You make a mistake. If you are not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. You have an Acura, Mercedes is not going to make you content. You're going to get that and be like, dude, there's a higher class Mercedes than I have. Man, why didn't I buy that? The key to living a thankful life is to learn to be content. If you would stand with me, the musicians come. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1, it says, listen, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting which are not convenient. All that stuff, don't let it be named. But one thing, rather giving of thanks. Let that be in your repertoire. Let that be said of you. You know what? They're not all this stuff, but they're just thankful. It's not saying be super spiritual and be the pastor and do all these great. No, be thankful. Be thankful, because when we're thankful, it leads into the presence of God where God can just move. Hallelujah. Let's just reach out to the Lord.
Maybe you're sitting here and really there's not much to be thankful for. Maybe life has given you a lot of ups and downs and bumps. And you know what? Can't speak to that situation because only you know how it feels, but I have a God. Just one moment with Him, all that can just, you know, you will still face it tomorrow, but he can just touch your life, touch your heart. You say, you know what, God, I'm going to work through this. I just want to have a spirit of thanksgiving in my life. Church, we need to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And as the singers begin to sing, I would encourage you, there's lots of room up here. Before we go, it's been